Is this a state that can really make an impact as far as being able to go to right to work? I mean, the unions are strong in Michigan.
Well, yeah, it would seem to be the most unlikely state in some respects, given our long tradition here and the fact that we are still one of the most heavily unionized states in the country. The rate of unionization of the Michigan private sector workforce is about 14%, which is double the national average. Nationwide, only 7% of private sector workers are in unions governed by collective bargaining contracts. So it would be a steep climb. But Michigan right now is in a very extraordinary situation. We're in a one-state recession with 49 states doing reasonably well, especially the right-to-work states among those 49. And there seems to be more openness to consider a fundamental change than ever before. You know, we've been tinkering for years with this economic development stuff from the MEDC, the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, handing out selective favors to a few. It obviously has flopped. And now I think there's a growing number of people who are looking for something much more fundamental that can fix the situation for everybody and make us an attractive business climate.
I've been watching how the unions seem to have been changing the membership of the last few years, probably the last five that I've noticed it. It seems like, tell me if you've noticed the same, it seems like that it used to be you didn't see unions pretty much, at least, unless it was in high-paying jobs or at least reasonably high-paying jobs. And you didn't see them. Now it seems like the last 5 or 6 years, and I wonder if it's because if they were losing membership and just trying to get new sources, that I've been seeing people like grocery store workers all of a sudden they becoming unionized and restaurant workers and all sorts of things that you normally wouldn't expect.
Oh, yeah. You see that across the board and some very unlikely representations. I remember a few years ago being struck by learning that the Teamsters had organized the hall monitors at the public schools in Bay City.
No way.
Yeah, yeah. You wouldn't think that that would be a Teamster function.
I thought that was a volunteer function normally. I didn't know they could. They paid those people. Wow.
Yep. When your membership is declining as rapidly as has been the case now for most of our private sector unions, I guess you get pretty desperate. You start looking for anybody and everybody who will start sending you dues.
Yeah, you take what you can get at this point, I suppose.
Yeah.
Larry, hold that thought, because I want to ask you, I know there's several, so you mentioned there's several states, 20-some?
22.
That actually have a right to work. With that in mind, I want to ask you some examples of how this can work in Michigan and maybe how it's worked elsewhere and so forth. Can you hang on, though? I've got a news
yes.
to take.
Mm-hmm.
Larry's with us right now. Larry Reed is the president of the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. Larry, in an overwhelming election, I heard the last time around, you're serving your second term now, right? isn't that how it works?
Well, I was elected first in 1987, and I've had the job ever since.
Well, there you go. We haven't had a coup of any kind. Huh?
No.
Okay, so it's not necessary for term limits in the Mackinac Center, then?
Nope.
Okay, just checking. Make sure the power hadn't gone to your head there. You know. Thanks for being with us today. Do appreciate it. Larry's going to be talking with us about right to work, which is a concept of basically says if you don't want to join a union, you don't have to, or you don't have to have your money going to political causes and so forth like that. Larry, we're going to talk about real quick about a couple of concepts about how this has actually worked elsewhere. Let's give me some good examples. You said 22 states has the law right now. Is it working in every one of them? Is some better than others? What have you been noticing as far as your research?
Well, the job creation over the past 30 years, especially in manufacturing, has been overwhelmingly in the right-to-work states. In fact, when you look at what happened from 1970 to 2000 in manufacturing employment across the country, the right-to-work states created almost 1.5 million new manufacturing jobs. And in that same period, the non-right-to-work states, like Michigan, lost over 2 million jobs. And I remember back in Idaho in 1986 when that state's voters voted to go right to work, rather overwhelmingly too, by the way. Before that happened, Idaho was growing at just 3% below the national average. And ever since right to work passed, they've been among the fastest growing states in the union, and their personal income has been growing at a rate closer to 8% higher than the national average. Same thing has happened in Oklahoma since they became a right-to-work state in 2001. So the record's pretty clear. The jobs are being created in right-to-work states, and that's where employers, even from Michigan, are going to create jobs and make new investments.
You know, I'm sure there's going to be naysayers listening right now saying that the only reason that's happening is because businesses don't like unions. It's the classic fight. They're trying to fight the union, so they're going places where there isn't strong unions, and so we need to make the law the other way, not this way.
Yeah, that's right, but there'll be a lot of people who will say that. But the point is that those who have the wherewithal to invest, who have the desire to take a risk and build a plant or expand a business and employ people, find that it's a friendlier climate to move to a right-to-work state. And time and again, it's been shown that the workers themselves prefer that. The unions have just not had much luck at all at unionizing auto plants, for instance, throughout the South, because those workers like the fact that they have freedom of choice.
Now, I'm devil's advocate, you know, a few things I want to get your thoughts on. Another one would be, well, the people in the South, they've not had unions for the most part at all down there ever, so of course they're going to vote against it. They don't know they don't know the benefit of union work.
Oh, believe me, unions, whenever there's an organizing election, they blitz them with their information. Americans in all parts of the country are not dumb. They can look around and they know where the growth is, and when it comes to making an important decision like this, they know what's good for them, and really that's at the core of the right-to-work concept. Let people choose. Let them decide for themselves. The Detroit Free Press found a month or two ago that the wages in quite a number of southern auto plants, especially when you add bonuses, the wages now are at or above what in those non-union states are at or above wages for comparable work in auto plants in Michigan. So workers know that.
Wow, it's no wonder we're not getting new plants moving in here.
Yeah, and you know, it's not so much the cost of labor in a wage sense, but the cost of labor in terms of overall managing of the workforce and the flexibility of things that need to be done on the job. That tends to be more rigid in a union environment, which costs money, than in a more flexible non-union environment.
So in other words, I'm in a non-union environment. I'm willing to pick up a hammer or pick up a broom and help out just to get the job done, whereas in a union shop, if I do that, I'm outside of my job. I'm going to get in trouble.
That's right. You don't hear stories in non-union states about people who are idle because they can't change the light bulb. That's in somebody else's description.
Yeah, and that could happen, too. You're right about that.
And it costs money.
Yeah, it does. That definitely costs money because you got to keep more staff around than you need for the job instead of being able to grow the company properly.
Yeah, and I think the word is getting out, too, that even though many southern states that are right-to-work, and by the way, there are right-to-work states in the West as well, but even though they have had lower personal income in the past, they are catching up fast. In fact, if trends since 2000 continue, wages in Alabama, on average, personal income, will exceed that of Michigan in just three more years.
You know, that's interesting because Alabama has been used, Alabama and Mississippi is ones that a lot of the union shops are using this discussion point at and say, Michigan's going to become another Alabama. It's going to become another Mississippi if this doesn't change.
Yeah, we should be so lucky. I mean, at least when it comes to trends, that's where we ought to be. I mean, there may be other features about life there we don't like, and I'm sure there are features about life here that they don't like. But the bottom line is, if you want growth in income, growth in employment opportunities, and lower unemployment, you're finding that in the right-to-work states, not so much in the non-right-to-work states like Michigan.
The 22 states have it. Should Michigan be the 23rd or 24th or whoever's next in the conversation? Good morning, sir. Appreciate you being with us today, Larry.
Hey, my pleasure, Greg.
Larry, we were talking about that the South and the West have quite a few right-to-work states. How about the Midwest, as we consider it, around our neck of the woods? Any surrounding states?
Well, let's see. Tennessee, but that's not Midwest, but that's the nearest one I can think of. South Dakota is right-to-work. And I'd have to look at the map again to see what might be the nearest one.
Why does it sound like that the Midwest and the Northeast are the ones who are having problems with this?
Yeah, that's where right-to-work tends to be, where you see the fewest right-to-work states. Our neighboring states like Wisconsin and Ohio, Indiana, they are not right-to-work states, nor is Pennsylvania, New York. So most of the right-to-work states, if not all, are in the West and in the South, but that's also where the growth is.
Yeah, that's exactly where the growth is, too. No doubt about that. I mean, when you look at the numbers, I mean, there's double-digit population growth in many of those areas.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, is it all because of that? Is it a significant part because of that? Can anybody really tell? I mean, it's sometimes it's tough with surveys. What do you think?
Well, I don't think anybody should claim that right to work makes all the difference in the world. There are a lot of factors at play here. A state's tax burden, its regulatory burden. Michigan needs to make some more progress on those issues as well. But clearly the labor climate is increasingly important in a world of where capital and labor are incredibly mobile, where they can quite often be easily picked up and move elsewhere. And if your labor environment is viewed as hostile, you're simply not going to be a candidate for a major expansion unless states and local governments get involved and try to shower tons of goodies upon you. But I don't think that's a good policy either. We need to fix the fundamentals so that we have a business environment that's friendly to everybody, not just existing companies or in-state companies or out-of-state companies, but new startups, too. We need an environment that encourages people to be entrepreneurs, and if they have to go up against a militant union early in their history, a lot of people will just say, forget it. So we need to make our environment more inviting, and right to work is one way to do it. But I think in Michigan's case, it would be an extraordinarily powerful way to do it simply because of our history and the perception around the country that Michigan doesn't have a favorable labor climate.
Is that now? I've heard people say that. I mean, what is the perception? You know, how heavy is that really into play? I guess.
I think it's substantial, and in some cases, it's probably overstated, but it is still very substantial. And every time there's a strike or a threatened strike against a bankrupt company, and we had those in Michigan, then I think that just reinforces the perception that. Gee, you know, of all the places to move, why would we want to go there? And we need to fix that.
Yeah, we definitely need to work toward fixing that. And it's not going to be easy is the problem. I mean, there's such a perspective. I mean, it's interesting. I've been reading quite a bit of stuff out of state that's written about Michigan. And the reason we're being brought up is because basically those Jeff Daniel commercials that are on the television across the country and on radio right now trying to get you to invest here. But, you know, one of the big problems that I've been seeing in a lot of the write-ups, and this is separate but related in a way, is basically people are coming back and saying, yeah, they want us to come there and get us in there, and then the governor wants to raise taxes when we show up? Come on.
Cause, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
The governor has been pushing for that so hard.
The right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. I mean, but I doubt that anybody has ever seen those ads and then said, wow, great ad. I think I'll move my plant to Michigan. I mean, they look at fundamentals. They look at things like labor climate and the tax burden and the regulatory morass and what have you. And I think those ads are a complete waste of money.
Well, the ads get your attention. I mean, they're just like, you know, people go where they're invited and they do what they're invited to do. So basically, I'm inviting you to do it. But I think you're right. Once they take a look, they're not going to let they see and move along.
Yeah, and I think the best analogy that I've ever come across is this one. Imagine a bad restaurant. It's got poor food. It's got high costs. What's the best way for that restaurant to turn around and attract customers? Now, the MEDC approach with its Jeff Daniels ads would be to pass out some very selective and discriminatory favors to a few. It would say to certain customers, hey, if you come to our bad restaurant with our high costs, we'll give you a discount, but that's not something we're going to do for everybody. Now, that'd be ridiculous. What we would expect a restaurant to do, if it really wanted to survive, is to fix the menu for everybody. But the problem is that the approach in Lansing has been too often, keep our burdens high, don't change the labor climate, and now, of course, the governor wants to raise taxes even further, but then we'll just parcel out a handful of selective favors to a few, and then we'll put those recipients in some clever ads and try to convince business people elsewhere that there are a few goodies for them if they come here too. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, there's definitely on the frustrating side. There's no doubt about that. Let's take a look at Right to Work real quick as far as the future of this in Michigan. Right now we're in the talking stages. Is there any work in Lansing toward this? Do you see any tread on this going?
Well, there is talk among legislators, more than I have ever seen. But realistically, given the makeup of the legislature and the governor's views in this area, I it's hard to imagine that the legislature would pass a right-to-work bill. Now, that doesn't mean that it can't happen. It just means that the way it's likely to happen, if it does, is that some people will come forward and say, let's get this done by ballot initiative. Now, that's an end of it that we wouldn't be involved with because we're a nonprofit group. But I think the research is there, and it shows that not only might the Michigan public be ready for this, but the evidence is overwhelming that it would be great for the economy. So I've never seen more interest in right to work in all the 20 years I've been at the Mackinac Center. So I think there's a chance that somebody just might move to put this on the ballot.
You grabbed my curiosity when you said you're a nonprofit group, so you wouldn't be involved in a ballot petition. Why is that?
Well, the IRS code does not allow 501c3 organizations. That's a part of the IRS code that we're governed by. It does not permit groups like ours to engage in petition gathering or advising people how to vote or otherwise directly involved in the political process. We can do educational work. We can talk about what the evidence shows, but others will have to take that information and run with it in a political sense. So we don't tell people how to vote in legislative races or any of that sort of thing because we can't. And we're focused more on what does the information tell us? What's the evidence suggest?
I'm glad you said that because I always knew that 501c3s couldn't get involved in political campaigns as it involved candidates. I didn't realize they couldn't get involved in issues either.
Yeah, no, we couldn't. Other than just continue to talk about what economic research strongly suggests, we could not get involved in the political.
So basically, this is a long-term goal as far as getting right to work. It sounds like this is not something, like you mentioned, not something you expect this year, but what, down the road, a year that you're hoping for?
Yeah, I would think 2008 it could happen. Maybe a lot will depend upon how the very important talks between the automakers and the unions go later this summer. And I think more importantly than anything, the state of the Michigan economy. If it continues to slide, and right now it looks as though that's the path we're gonna be on for the foreseeable future, I think that will actually cause people to be more receptive to a fundamental change in policy like right to work.
I saw a clip from an economist that was speaking in the North not too long back that said, was talking about all of Michigan. Michigan's problems are wide and varied and went over this huge long list of them. It took about 20 minutes going over all the different issues that he perceived and just right out of nowhere said. And we really think that Michigan's going to be able to turn it around and get a handle on this. And we expect the state economy to be back on track by 2015.
2015.
Yeah.
Well,
unbelievable.
Yeah, I think that forecast is worth about as much as your local weatherman telling you what the weather's going to be like in 2015. I mean, that's economists, when they're honest, will tell you that they have a pretty good sense for where things might be within the next 6 months. But beyond that, it's extremely difficult to forecast.
Yeah, there's so many unknowns that happen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can tell you that if the response of the legislature and the governor to this ongoing fiscal problem in Lansing is to ignore the need for major spending cuts and give us a massive tax hike, I mean, that's a worst-case scenario. But if that's the response, then you're going to see an accelerating decline in the Michigan economy. And that, we don't know yet if that's going to happen.
Well, we saw the new study that talks about in the Michigan economy, too. Interesting. There's a new study out that Epic MRA says it goes right along with what we're talking about. It's showing the bleak indicators. We've had on the news this morning with Bob White saying that 3% of those surveyed say they definitely plan to move out of Michigan in the next 5 years. That's the latest percentage now. Experts say families with spouses in the picture, that could account for as many as 500,000 people leaving the state on top of what already has.
Yeah, that would be a tragedy, and it underscores the need to recognize the situation we're in as a crisis that requires really bold and fundamental action. Just tweaking the edges of this situation is not going to make the major changes we need.
I was talking yesterday to Roger Buchholz of Michigan Fair Tax. I just wanted to, I know it's off subject a little bit where we were initially, but I'd like to get your thought on it, Larry, just real quick. What do you think about that as an idea?
Well, as a broad concept, I think it has a lot to offer. Anything that simplifies taxes, I tend to be in favor of. I've not studied it carefully, so I couldn't tell you much about any analysis of details, but I think Roger has an idea that is worth serious consideration, and I hope it gets a good look in Lansing.
Yeah, that probably upset the powers that be. And so, and going back to right to work, that sounds like one of our biggest stumbling blocks. Unions are a tremendous lobby, and it's going to be very difficult to, unseat that power from Lansing in and of itself, isn't it?
Well, it will be, but less of a challenge than it would have been, say, 30 years ago when the portion of our workforce in Michigan that was unionized was closer to 30%. Now it's down to 14% in the private sector. So unions have lost a lot of clout. The membership of the UAW nationwide has fallen from about 1.5 million in the late 1970s to barely 500,000 this year. So they're down to about a third what they used to be. So, you know, the world's changing. The labor market is changing. Workers want more freedom of choice. They're opting out whenever they have an option. And so I think the world is moving in the direction of more freedom of choice and labor representation. So now might be the right time for something like this to happen in Michigan.
Larry Reed's the president of the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. We've been talking about right to work ideas where you don't have to join the unions if you don't want to and so forth. Larry, what's the more information you got down on your website, right?
Yes, if any listeners want to go to mackinac.org, you'll see in the upper right is a icon that says Right to Work Resources. Click on that and you'll see that'll take you to links to a lot of things we've done on Right to Work, including the articles we referred to, Greg, on from the Wall Street Journal and the Detroit News.
Appreciate talking to you, sir. I hope you have a great day.
My pleasure. You too. Thank you, Greg.
Larry Reed on 1270 WMK.